Back in on Canucks Central, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints, Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Before we get into the open, the world wants to know, Sat, have you ordered your Luka Doncic jersey yet?
No, I have not. I have not. I will be ordering one because, I mean, it's Luka Doncic. He's 25. He's a franchise.
So cool. Sat's like, I'm a Lakers fan again.
No, I haven't stopped being a Lakers fan, but it's, you know, it's been fine. Yeah. It's been competitive. It just haven't, you know.
Running in cement.
Yeah, kind of.
For the last couple of years.
Kind of. I mean, I always appreciate what LeBron has done and does.
Yeah.
But he's not like... like my favorite Laker, I gotta admit, right? But anyways, like getting Luka is great, and I'm trying to distract myself from my other football, my other team. But.
Oh, like we did get some questions, like where do you think Myles Garrett's getting traded?
You know, I haven't even opened up the text inbox yet.
Sat knew it was coming.
I'm trying to avoid it.
Myles Garrett asked for a trade out of Cleveland today, and apparently. His initial ask wasn't responded too well because he had to go public with it. So.
Yeah.
That's always good.
Oh, I mean, yeah. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to trade you, which is BS. They'll trade him.
That was close.
That was close.
You can tell Sat's blood pressure is rising.
I'm trying to.
Can we just move
on?
Can we move on?
Iranians are intrinsically linked, and there's just both of us are. We're just. There's a vibe going here.
Yeah, you can feel it. It's. I mean, if we can wait till 5:30,
yeah,
maybe we can have a discussion.
Okay. Well, at least your Chelsea won today.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Cole Palmer, baby.
Let's get to the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
The open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is the Canucks are firmly in a retool. Patrick Alvin admitted as much on Saturday when he spoke following the big trades, sending out JT Miller, bringing in Marcus Pettersson and Drew O'Connor. And it has set the Canucks into a retool phase yet again, the second such retool phase under Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford. Forced into this one more than they would have liked, certainly, given the situation with Miller and Pettersson and how that unfolded over the early part of the season. But now that the first big addition has made, well, a big subtraction and a big addition has already been made, what's next for the Canucks retool?
Well, it's, you know, like we talked to Frank, they still want to add. And yeah. I think they really want to add a real impact top six forward, right? And obviously center would be preferable. But until you make that deal, it could always shift somewhat depending on how Filip Hedl kind of plays, right? That can always change the equation to some degree. But obviously a center is clearly what they would prefer to add. And when you look at the National Hockey League too, and the teams that are having success, you want to have players that can not only play center, but also have guys that are options. Mm-hmm. So you can never have too many of them. So even if you have Hedl and feel like he can be the guy, I wouldn't be surprised to add somebody else and somebody moves to wing. But we also know that in certain situations, you want to have three guys down the middle. You can spread the offense around. And we saw with the Canucks trading for Elias Lindholm and trying to keep Lindholm, where they would have had Lindholm, Pettersson, and Miller coming into the season. There is still a want to have a real strong center core, right? And the more the merrier, so to speak. But ultimately, this team needs drivers.
Yeah.
They need guys who can really drive a line and really create a lot of offense. And I think the center thing is what we looked at the most. And you hear the names pop up. We spoke to Frank about Josh Norris. We mentioned guys like Dylan Cousins. And could there be some other player that we haven't heard about right now who might be available quietly that they're working on trying to acquire? And I think that's kind of where the focus is, finding a guy in that mid-20s range that can be a long-term fixture and play a high-profile role for this team.
Well, that's what Filip Hronek was, right? When they traded for and announced the trade for Filip Hronek, felt like he was on the top of mind of everybody around the league, that was a candidate to be traded away from the Detroit Red Wings at the time. Frank also mentioned Marco Rossi earlier today with the Minnesota Wild as a player to keep an eye on. They're not sure that they want to give him a contract coming out of his entry-level deal, and he's started to play a lot better in Minnesota this year, but...
But do you see the Canucks trading for a guy who's 5'9"?
What do you got against...
I'm saying...
What do you mean? What are you trying to say right now?
Listen, I'm not saying anything.
Are you trying to say... Small hockey players are no good?
No, I mean...
Is that what you're trying to say?
Connor Garland's great. No, what I'm saying is, does this team...
You don't like Quinn Hughes?
Does this team, this management team...
Yes.
Do you think that adding another forward who's under 5'10 is going to be a priority for them?
I would say it's more likely than not they go for a player...
I'd be surprised.
And has some size.
But maybe Rossi is that talented and that good, and they want to put him in an offensive role. Like, I mean, yeah.
Like, how many, like, beggars can't be choosers. How many options are you going to have to fill this, like, mid-20s role that you're looking for?
Yeah, but you also have a vision for how you want your team to play. Does Rossi fit? Like, in Minnesota, that also plays a pretty similar style to how the Canucks play.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like, yeah, we don't know. So is it going to work for another team that wants to play similarly, right?
Yeah.
That's where I'm just a little skeptical.
It's another name to keep an eye on, even if unlikely, since it has come up. I guess Trevor Zegras is a name that is of interest as well to a lot of teams. At 23 years old, he's had a lot of question marks pop up early in his career about, can he play more of a 200-foot game, round out his game, aside from all the... Yeah. incredible talent that he has to play a more NHL, a more professional style game. And Anaheim's a team that does have quite a bit of options developing through the middle of the ice with Leo Carlson and Mason McTavish already there as centerman.
Yeah, and that team has played better recently, and guys are turning it up. Not necessarily him, though. Like, on the season, Zegras still only has 5 goals and 14 points in 30 games. Now, he's missed time, too. He's had injuries, and all these things have kind of plagued him this year. But it's 2 years in a row where the production has been down significantly. Are the Canucks in a spot where you roll the dice on a player like him? I think they are more now than they were a year ago, when a lot of people would ask us last year, so the Canucks trade for Zegras, he's available, why not? And it's like, well, as long as you have Pettersson and Miller and with how this team wants to play, there's not a spot for him that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if you have assets you want to give up, is that the asset you want to give it up for, a guy who's a bit of a long shot and is a bit of a risk? Is it worth you taking that risk now because you have a need?
Yeah.
It's still not going to be a big, heavy price, though. But again, I think the problem with Zegras is his reputation has soured so much that teams are very afraid of trading for him.
Which, that's like, you're not getting one of these guys that doesn't have his warts.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Teams aren't trading that guy.
Well, we spoke to Frank about Josh Norris, and you said, what do you call his shoulder?
I believe he said his shoulder is a mashed potato.
No, what he said was he spoke to somebody from a different team who said, that
Josh Norris's shoulder is a mashed potato.
Mashed potato was the key piece.
That is a key piece.
I do like mashed potatoes.
So
but
do
not
I.
in this context.
Yeah, I don't like shoulder mashed potato. Not my preference. No. But so, I mean, and
but
listen,
I mean, even Filip Hedl, right? I mean, he's had the concussion issues.
Why
are the Rangers moving on from Filip Hedl? I mean, very obvious link there with that. You're not getting a mid-20 centerman that's got some offensive upside and top six upside without their warts, because those teams don't give up on those players.
Precisely. It's either a projection like Dylan Cousins.
Yeah.
Can he actually live up to it? Or you're taking a risk on a player's health, or that the downturn is temporary and we'll get back up again, right? And that's where you're kind of left. And that's why I'm also always curious about, are there players under the radar that we don't know about? Because the thing you hear around the league sometimes, and you heard Frank mention this too, that there are teams that have kind of soured on some of their players. And because it's been so hard to make trades around the league, and because there are so few free agents left,
right,
and how everything works, that teams may not be as reluctant to make some of these decisions, especially with the cap going up and getting out from a contract to be able to do other things as time goes on. So I wouldn't be surprised that over the next few weeks here before the deadline, we hear somebody new kind of pop up. But it's clear that's what you're looking at the moment. And the Canucks have a real desire to improve their team significantly.
And a lot of times teams want to get out of that player before it starts to become public knowledge that they've started to sour on that player on their roster. I don't want to delve too much into the Marcus Pettersson discourse. He's a good player. They needed help on defense. I think we saw a lot of the traits that he's going to bring to this team last night, and probably didn't get a great full picture of it because Quinn Hughes didn't even play last night in Marcus Pettersson's debut against the Detroit Red Wings. But the biggest issue I have with the move is you've added this premium asset, a top 13 protected pick from the New York Rangers, who are currently on the outside of the playoffs looking in, and do have a bit of a hill to climb to get back into the postseason. I think they've got a 37% implied odds of getting into the playoffs this year, 37%. That's so, you know, below 50.
Yeah.
Given where they currently stand. And now you've already spent that asset on a pending unrestricted free agent whom you're going to have to go out and pay to be a part of the future here. But you still have a pretty big piece to add into your forward group to fill the void of JT Miller's absence. And you're back to square one asset-wise with what you have to use to go out and add that piece. You know, you're still with your own first-round pick, Villander, and Lekkerimäki as your three blue-chip assets to potentially go out and add something. And they don't want to move Villander and Lekkerimäki if they did have their preference.
Yeah, and I mean, could there be... There's always a deal available, or there could always be a deal that makes those players available.
Yeah.
Is that deal going to come open to them? That's going to be the question, right? So you can't say no. I think there is a world where they trade a first and one of those two prospects, right? I don't know if that world is something we're going to live in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So we'll see how that all goes. But I do think there is a acceptance that if they're going to be adding a player like that, which they're trying to do, that they have to give something up to get that player. And this organization is not afraid of making trades and giving up assets, right? No. And when you look at it, to your point, you're right. They've spent the assets they got for JT already. And we'll see what happens with... and we'll get to Pettersson's contract real quick, too, before we get out here. But on the addition, so they did get a center back, and they found a top four defenseman. So in some ways, if you add that other piece now with the assets you had that you're trying to go and get a defenseman for, now you can have a first-line center, second-line center, another forward in Hedl, who's maybe a top-six forward, if not a third-line center, who can provide good speed for you, value, you can score a little bit, and you improve your blue line.
Yeah.
Like, you're not replacing JT, but in the aggregate, if you do find another center who's not as good as JT, but you have another guy behind him who's Hedl, and you get a better defense, and maybe Drew O'Connor is actually something for you, have you built a better team through all this? And I think that possibility exists, but you got to nail that next trade. It's got to be the right guy you add in. And the fact that you haven't spent your own assets, well, now you have those to spend. I don't think you have to spend all of them, but you know, whether it's Kudryavtsev, DPD has captured the imagination of Canucks fans.
I feel like those guys have similar value to what Mancini was to the Rangers.
Bingo. Yeah. Isn't that what you need?
Yeah.
Like you go that, you have that, you have a first round pick.
It's more of a mid-level prospect.
Sure, but it's kind of what you're getting for a distressed player, right? Like we're talking about those players. You mentioned JT. That's kind of the price that we're talking about. Can the Canucks try to get those players without giving up one of those guys in a first? Well, I'm sure they're trying.
Yeah.
But ultimately, do you give that up to get that player then?
Yeah. And you just think about it logically. You know, you're building out a future. You have Kudryavtsev, Minio, and DPD, Elias Pettersson. Like, there's only so many spots to fill, especially if you give Marcus, or when, I should say, when they give Marcus Pettersson a new contract. I don't know. I really don't see a world where they let Marcus Pettersson get away from them now.
No, I don't see it either. And, you know, we talked about Pettersson and how he fit in, and I thought he played really well last night. And if he is that number three linchpin lefty defenseman, and you know, that's kind of what they need behind Quinn. And if he can be that guy, like he fits it ideally, the number is going to be the question.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of people that think it's going to be in the sixth range, and it could. The cap's going up, right? And we might start seeing the numbers skyrocket. It's certainly a possibility. But given the comps, given where he's at, my guess is it comes in the five range somewhere.
Yeah.
Matt Roy got 5.75 over six, but he's a right-hand defenseman. Mm. The righties, Pesce got 5.5 over six. He's also a righty.
Yeah.
I do see something like you know, 6 years, 5 million per, 5.5, maybe 5.75 on the high side. I think it'll come in
Zadorov
under six.
Zadorov contract.
Yeah, a little bit more maybe.
Yeah.
Because he's played more minutes than Zadorov has. Yeah. But Zadorov has a unique rare profile too, right, which drove up the price for him. But that's kind of where I see it landing. 5, 6 years, 5.5 million, maybe 5.75.
I got into it a little bit on Twitter last night with a lot of people about Filip Hedl, since we're now on to our impressions of the newcomers here in Vancouver. And I mean, it's hard not to like a lot of what you saw with Filip Hedl last night. I just simply said, I can see how there's some things in his game that might frustrate coaches over time. And he did so many things well. I love the way that he commanded the puck, demanded the puck, the way that he drove the puck to the net. I mean, he was transporting the puck beautifully, brought speed, showed his skill, wasn't afraid to show his skill, really wanted to take the game to the Detroit Red Wings. And quite frankly, you know, maybe Elias Pettersson can take some lessons from what Filip Hedl showed last night, because we haven't seen that from Pettersson too often this season. But, you know, I could see where the team is going to continue to work with him. I think sometimes he went into hero mode, tried to do too many things on his own, not deferring to teammates enough. He had a pass available, wasn't getting to it, continued to hold the puck and end up skating it into a non-dangerous area. You know, those are the kinds of things I want to see develop with Hedl. But I think it's the point that a lot of people have been making. You look at his numbers, very similar to where JT Miller was before he made the jump to Vancouver. Ultimately, that's like, you know, best case scenario. There's a big breakout just waiting to happen here for Filip Hedl, but you can't bet on the best case scenario playing out every time.
No, but at the same time, like he fits the profile of a guy that could break out.
Yeah.
Right? Because his minutes have never been, like, he's never played 16 to 18 minutes a game to not prove he can be that guy.
Like, so JT was a power play savant even before he came to Vancouver.
He was, yes. And JT also had some scoring rates that were better than Hedl's scoring rates, but it with slightly bigger minutes as well. So what can he do with those bigger minutes on the overtime goal? He had been out there a long time. You get tired on 3-on-3, I get it, but not the best back check. You want to see guys sell out in that moment a bit more. But those are going to be the things. Will the head coach trust him enough in certain situations for him to...
I hate this narrative so much.
Listen, this isn't even about Tocchet to me. Like, this is just about why has this player with different coaches in New York never been more than a third line player? Part of it is there have been guys ahead of him.
Yeah.
That's a reason. But another part of it is maybe there are some limitations, right?
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to be trusted enough to play high leverage situations consistently?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm watching out for. Because if he can, and he can keep up the production, like, it's an exciting player.
Yeah. And you know, he got some offensive zone starts last night. A lot of the time he was on the ice, he didn't get stuck in his own end. So, you know, hard to get a gauge of his defensive awareness, some of those defensive chops. But there was a lot of good out of Filip Hedl last night. And the other one is Drew O'Connor. First impression is... there's a lot of speed here. There's as Rick Tocchet said, a lot to work with this player.
Yeah, and what I love is just how quick he is on the forecheck and how he's able to fight through contact with his speed.
Yeah.
And we talked about this yesterday on the pregame show a little bit, but I want to see him kind of be that third guy on a line, up the lineup a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, after he gets situated and settled in, and he looked great with Sherwood. Those two guys created a lot of havoc, and I'm fine with leaving that together for the time being. But I think you can use some speed on the top line. You can use some speed on the second line, too. And I don't mind if you go, say, Pettersson and Besser, give O'Connor a chance there to be the third guy on the line, digging pucks out, bringing speed. Because I think, you know, that's kind of what you need up your lineup as well. DeBrusk, Pettersson, and Besser were just kind of slow. They picked it up in the third. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and on that second line, when Joshua was there with Suter and Garland, had some good moments, but not a lot of pace. Garland's quick and shifty. Suter's not the fastest. I'd love to see him get a shot to see if he can be the third guy in a line there to give the top six a bit of a speed boost.
I know they did end up, you know, with a few chances. Besser had a couple of really great opportunities last night. But to me, and maybe this is on Pettersson because of where his game has been at all season long, but Pettersson, DeBrusk, Besser is just not... it's not doing it for me in what we've seen so far. Even though they're the three highest paid forwards and there's no excuse for them to not have success, it just doesn't seem like their traits align to generate a line that works together.
They don't. They don't because you really need DeBrusque to be the F1 forechecker who's going to skate hard. And he's a good forechecker, but he's not consistent enough with being the F1 and doing those things all the time to be that guy, right? If he does, he'd be terrific at it. But it's not overly consistent.
Yeah.
And if he's not going to be that guy, I think you need somebody else. You know, whether it's Sherwood on the right wing, whether it's O'Connor, whether it's Hoglander even. Because when Hoagie's on his game, like he's getting on pucks really quickly.
Lotso, Tockett basically told Hedl to lace up and go dangle. So how's that for a measuring stick? I do like that Tockett said post-game, hopefully it's contagious the way those guys were taking the puck to the net. Because some of our guys can really take that to heart. It's not on Tockett that these guys have been completely devoid of offense, at least not entirely on the coach.
I think we can talk about certain things about breakouts, systems play, and stuff they can do better. But now that they've made the move, like, okay, you have some different things to work with. How do these guys look over the next little while, right? Like, it gives us a chance to evaluate, I think, Tockett a bit more properly with a less chaotic situation.
We'll get into the Canucks Central roundup a little bit later, and I know some people want us to chit-chat about Carson Soucy a little bit and the healthy scratch that he got last night. JanPro, from showrooms to stockrooms and everything in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. Don Taylor next on Canucks Central.
Catch up on what happened in Vancouver sports with Halford and Brough in the morning. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.